The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Welcome to the Tim DeMoss Show podcast. You can hear the program each weekday afternoon from 4 till 5 on AM 560 WFIL and WFIL.com.
AM 560 WFIL.com and on the app listening to the Tim DeMoss Show. Thank you for tuning in. Kind of a cloudy balance of the afternoon and evening. A couple showers and a low of 45 on the cloudy side tomorrow. Breezy, a bit warmer. High up to 57. Sixers lost 112-107 to Brooklyn last night. Kelly Oubre Jr., 30 points in the loss. They're home tonight against Memphis at 7:30. Flyers at Florida tomorrow at 7. And the Phillies continuing spring training. Won't be long before opening day. Also in our partnership with Save the Children, helping rescue children suffering from severe acute malnutrition. We're up to 14 children out of the couple hundred we're hoping to get by the end of the month. If you want to help, it's 888-884-4836, or right in our homepage at WFIL.com. You can click the Save the Children banner. Of course, also in news, you can't miss it, really, because he's that beloved a player, Jason Kelce retiring, and a big press conference with all kinds of good stuff. We'll share some of those audio clips over the next couple of days. One of the things he said near the end of that press conference right here.
Few things gave me more joy than proving someone wrong. My mother used to tell people and still says to this day, if you want Jason to do something, all you have to do is tell him he can't. And that was true in more ways than I care to admit. I relish doubters. They fueled a fire within. I suspect that comes from an upbringing where my parents would tell me, Jason, you can do, you can be anything in this world you want to, as long as you put your mind to it and work hard to achieve it. So whenever I was faced with doubt in my career, be it from fans, from coaches, even from my own teammates, the American dream would burn from deep inside my bones. Which leads to my last Jeff Stoutland quote, hungry dogs run faster. Thank you, Philadelphia. From the bottom of my heart, thank you for letting me represent this city and allowing me into your homes every Sunday. It has truly been a privilege. You have all been so good to me and my family. Growing up in Cleveland, I watched all of my favorite athletes leave the city. A whole team left the city. It has always been a goal of mine to play my whole career in one city. And I couldn't have dreamt a better one and a better fit if I tried. I don't know what's next, but I look forward to the new challenges and opportunities that await. And I know that I carry with me the lessons from my time here. And that forever we shall all share the bond of being Philadelphians.
Jason Kelce, piece of his press conference sound courtesy of the Philadelphia Eagles. And second all time in games played. Only Brandon Graham with a couple games more has done more time, if you will, in Philadelphia Eagle uniform and all the all pros. And of course, the Super Bowl championship a few years back and the second appearance. So a lot to be said there. There was a documentary last year. There was a documentary. We had the folks on who put that together. The only, I guess, downside for me with the documentary is there's a lot of language in it, but that's Jason and Jason being himself and all that. So if you're, if you don't, you can look around that or dodge it a little bit. There was really a lot of heart in that documentary. And he shared, I remember one thing he shared was, I know what motivates me, and it's not people telling me I'm great. I remember that's one of the lines. And it's interesting because it can be easy to be motivated by people telling you, oh, I really like this about you. Oh, I like the, and that's fine. But he said that's not what actually motivates him. And he shared some of that there when he's told he actually can't do something that apparently motivates him even more. So anyhow, maybe at some point we'll replay that conversation with those who put the documentary out. It was during football season, I think last quarter of 2023. Today, I have a couple special guests. Very special. My son Toby's here. Hi, son.
Hi, Dad. How are you?
Good. And before I forget, I love you.
I love you, too.
I'm glad you're here.
Yeah, me as well.
And I'm also glad we're going to have another guest who you like a lot.
Oh, yeah.
Simon Sinek.
Yes.
Who is an author, and he's a podcaster, and he's a speaker, and he's one of your favorites. to listen to, right? And to watch.
Yeah, he's a brilliant business mind, leadership mind. He's a question asker. He's a constant learner. So I learned a lot from him reading his books and listening to his content. So it was a huge pleasure to be able to talk to him.
Yeah. So we're going to have the hour dedicated to, first, Toby is going to share some of his story. I referenced it, but I don't think you've ever been on to share about it, have you?
I have not, no.
Okay. So we'll get into that. I want to take care of our first break here first, and then I want to give the floor to Toby a bit and let him share, and then we'll bring Simon Sinek in later on in the program. You're listening to The Tim DeMoss Show, AM 560, WFIL.com, and on the WFIL app.
Have a guest you'd like to hear on The Tim DeMoss Show on AM 560 WFIL? Email timmyd@wfil.com.
It is 4:10 on The Tim DeMoss Show on WFIL. Thank you for tuning in. Very pleased to have my son Toby joining me in studio today. Toby came to visit, I guess, a week ago, just as a special treat to visit your sister, right?
Yeah, I wanted to come and surprise Tori and give her a little love because big brother's gone, other big brother's gone, other big sister's gone. Yeah. So it's easy to get lost in the sauce. I wanted to come and support her.
She's very special. She's 18, and she's our sweet girl with special needs and totally dependent. And Toby just called me up and said, I want to come just to see Tori and spend time with her. So that wound up turning into, you know what, I think I'll stay for a little while. Yeah. So we're very glad to have you in town, more than just for 2 days. And one of the byproducts of that, or blessings, is the chance to have you in today. A double whammy. We get to have you, and then we get to have you help me interview Simon Sinek. So let's start with you, though, because I really want to, and I want to devote as much time as possible to you being able to share your story. And you are not, you know, from May 2019 when you had an incident. You're much more than that. I was just thinking back growing up, my little son wearing his orange jacket, my son who would, you know, had a love of sports, love of music, love of people, love of nature. And I got many wonderful memories of just watching you grow into a young man, coming to your soccer games, your baseball games, watching you make the travel team, and many, many wonderful things there. And also you're growing in your faith in the Lord from a young man's age, you know, young age. So that's what I had the privilege of watching. You're the second of our five kids. Just to set the stage, we have a son, Tim. Toby came second. He is 23 now. And then God bless us with three daughters who are currently 20, 18, and 13. And I share about them every now and again. In May 2019, let's pick up there.
Yeah.
Because a lot has happened in the last almost 5 years. So I want you to share your story, how you see it, because it's interesting. As I thought about this, I've seen it all this time, and we've spent hours together talking about it, but you have your own details that maybe I'm not really actually aware of, as much as we're in step with each other.
Yeah. Well, like my dad said, May of 2019, I had a freak accident. But if you back up a couple months, what had happened was I had just started working with this organization called Teen Pact Leadership Schools. And basically what it was an organization that teaches leadership through government and intentional discipleship. So I was a national traveling intern, and over the course of January through end of April, I had traveled about 25,000 miles across the nation, was putting on these workshops in different capitol buildings, states all across the nation with my other intern teammates. And we end up in Cleveland, Tennessee for our national convention. And that's like the pinnacle, the flagship event of the entire program. So I was kind of I'd been in this leadership school for maybe 4 or 5 years as a student, eventually making my way up to this position of leadership. And I was kind of like thriving at the top of my game. And that's the moment when the injury occurred. And what happened, so that's for context, so you know that everything in my life was good.
And you're a very outgoing young man, A lot of people liked you, charismatic and engaging and easy to like and goofy and fun and serious and smart, all those things.
Thanks, Dad.
You're welcome.
Yeah, so I was doing well, and we had just finished setting up this event. We were inhabiting an entire college campus in Cleveland, Tennessee, called Lee University. And I was having a baseball catch with one of my buddies, and I heard somebody's calling my name from behind me as we're playing catch, just waiting for the students to arrive. And their voice gets louder as they get closer. And I turn around to meet them, and I just got rocked. I got hugged. A shoulder hit me in the jaw as I was rotating, and I was dazed. I didn't collapse. I didn't fall over. Nothing crazy seemed to happen in the moment. I just felt something was a little off. And it was a former student of mine, runs on to the rest of his day, and we go about our lives. And in time, you know, later that day, I realized, oh, I really don't feel so good. What's going on? We thought it was just a concussion. Camp nurse said to rest. I didn't rest very well, being a stubborn 19-year-old or 18-year-old at the time. And then that's kind of the origin of everything that's gone down in the past almost 5 years now with my health journey.
Yeah, if you're just tuning in, my son Toby is joining me in studio today. That moment obviously set in motion a lot of other things that have happened. You were supposed to go to college that fall, fall of 2019, which you did do, but the pain of the injury got to be so great you had to. I mean, you chose to and almost kind of had to withdraw.
Yeah. I remember coming home from college for Christmas break, and Mom looks me in the eye and she just said, "Oh, Toby, the light in your eyes has gone out. Like, we need to rethink what you're doing right now." And during that time at school, I really hadn't been communicating well with family. I'd just been pushing through, just taking extra strength Excedrin as much as possible to get through the day. Trying to scale a wedding photography business, doing like all kinds of crazy things. And it was just the death of me. So I came home and I remember lying down we went to this pho restaurant, Vietnamese, and we were there. Mom was on my left. You were across the table from me. And I just put my head in Mom's lap and I was like, my life is over. Just like started crying. Like I have to leave college. I had already taken a gap year. I was like, the course of my life it's just not good. And I thought maybe if I rested one semester, work hard at PT and, you know, eat my food and sleep and rest, then I would be able to go back to school the next fall. Yeah. And a month into doing all the protocols, I felt worse than I did before. So we come to school time again in the fall for the next year, for what was my sophomore year for all my friends. And I fly back down, I go, and I move in. All my friends are so excited. They have a big sign in my room with my name and all their signatures. And 12 days later, I move back to Pennsylvania because the lowest amount of school workload that I could do was far too much for my brain and my body to handle at that time. So, yeah.
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 Along the way then, I've never counted them, but I'm guessing it's a couple dozen specialists or more that you have sought out help. And as a team we have, although you have, as a point I wrote down is, you know, you have led the way in many ways. You have taken ownership. Part of the story has been a maturation where you have said, I need to be responsible. I'm me. I know my parents love me and everybody loves me. Want to help me. But I do need to be responsible, and so you've taken, and I really respect you for that.
Thanks.
And for sure, yeah. And but part of this loss, if you want to call it that, I'm not sure if you have a word or a phrase or something. You know, you in a way you had to withdraw from school, and then as you mentioned, your path is moving. You're not sure what direction. Stop, start, move sideways. Meanwhile, all your friends. Right?
They're moving on.
They're moving on. They love you. They're still in touch, but they're moving on with their school. So all these specialists, all these doctors, some mainstream, some alternative, some different types of things. What do you remember about those days? And because they're still going. Right?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. We've seen, I guess to this day, we've seen probably 28 to 30 different medical professionals, whether that's neurology, neurosurgery, or acupuncture, anything in that range.
Local in Florida.
Local in Florida.
Calls with people in other states.
Yeah.
Consults.
I remember because my sister Tori, we have this thing called a hyperbaric chamber, which we had in a room in our downstairs, and it looks like a big blue pill. It's like maybe 10 feet long, just tall enough for you to lay down in with a couple feet above your head. It's a claustrophobia nightmare. If you're claustrophobic, don't do it. But I would go in there because it's pressurized oxygen, really good for healing. And I thought it would help me. So I remember being in there and I had this analogy come to me. This is probably 2 years ago, about 2.5 years into the injury. And I was feeling, I was just grieving so deeply the loss of all the things that I cared about. Because really that's how I would describe it. Everything that I cared about, I feel like I lost. As an 18-year-old, I didn't have too many things. Like, I didn't have a family to lose. I didn't lose you guys. I had a family, but I didn't have a wife. I didn't have kids. I don't have all, I still don't.
Yeah.
But you know what I mean? It's like, as much as I knew that I cared about the things that mattered to me, my wedding photography business, all the connections, all the notoriety that I had been accumulating over the past few years, my ability to study, my ability to play sports, my girlfriend, my brother who is living in Florida, I lost all these things and the ability to participate in all these things.
Right.
And my friends are, you know, at first they're a semester ahead of me, then a year ahead of me, then 2 years ahead of me. And before long, they're getting internships and I'm getting more doctor's appointments. And so as I lay there in the hyperbaric chamber thinking to myself, I just did some journaling and I wrote about how I felt like from Toy Story. And I've never told you this, Dad, but you know Andy?
Yeah.
And Woody is the toy. Andy's the boy.
Yeah.
Woody's the cowboy. And there's a scene where Andy is growing up.
Yeah.
And he leaves his box of toys in the room. And Woody looks through the slit in the cardboard box as he sees Andy run out the door, slam the door, and go play outside with his friends. And that's what my life felt like. I felt like I'm alone here in this cardboard box. And my friends love me and care about me. And what we've had hasn't changed. But the trajectory of our lives is different. And that was really, 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 really hard to grapple with.
My son Toby is in studio with me today listening to the Tim DeMoss Show on WFIL in Philadelphia. He sustained kind of a freak injury about almost 5 years ago, and just kind of walking through that, the moment of the injury, a freak hug while he was having a catch, the neurological issues he's had, the searching for answers, and then what does it mean life-wise, including watching, as he's describing, people still love you, they're friends, but they're doing their thing, moving on, realizing that I guess I'm not going to graduate with you guys, am I? And I guess I need to make new friends if that's going to happen, or how's that going to happen? And still with the health part, and even just I know a lot of good has come, and I want to make sure we have time for some of that.
Mm-hmm.
But just take a second and describe, even now, how what a day-to-day looks like for you.
Yeah. Yeah, and I guess we haven't even talked too much about, like, what actually the injury was. So I should clarify, like, I had what's called rotational whiplash. At a very basic level, like, there's a lot of other complicated components, but rotational whiplash, meaning I got whiplash as I was rotating. So all the ligaments from C1 to C7, the top seven vertebrae, aka your entire neck, those ligaments, I don't have messed up discs and vertebrae per se, but all those ligaments that bind the bone together, those are floppy. They're kind of like a rubber band that's been stretched too many times. And so that means when I turn my head or I tilt my head, my vertebrae kind of slip and slide like an escalator. And so that causes your brainstem obviously comes down through there. Vagus nerve deals a lot with respiratory, with heart rate, with digestion. There's tons of nervous system components. So there's a lot of complicated symptoms and things. And even we don't know quite what's wrong. Otherwise, hopefully we would have it fixed by now.
Yeah.
But that kind of gives you a perspective of what the quote unquote freak accident is.
And because of those things, your day-to-day has involved some time, unpredictability for one thing, whether it's going to be – you're always in some level of pain. Will it be debilitating where you've just got to be in bed, shades down, lights off, noisemaker just to exist? Yeah. Or other days that are – you have more mileage and you're able to accomplish more. Right. So, I mean, that's to sum it up.
Yeah.
But that's been – and it's a waiting game, right? Part of this whole thing is – I don't know how – like it'd be one thing if you knew if I do these things in a year, I'll be here. Mm-hmm. But you've had also – that whole uncertainty thing has been part of it and just not really knowing even what direction. Are we even pursuing the right medical direction on this? Is this a waste of time, a waste of money, a waste of energy emotionally and everything else, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So that said, I want to circle back to a second ago. I mentioned how you took the lead as you started researching about your own body and how do I get better. And one of the things you also did was something to say, Dad, Mom, I know you love me. I'm realizing, like, if I never really get better fully, I have to figure out how to make a living, how to take care of myself.
Yeah.
And so you looked into something. I just thought this could be a neat opportunity to share about the KDP for a moment or your business mindset. Because you liked business before even all this, right?
I did. I never knew that I liked business. But looking back at my life since I was 5, I was creating businesses. I remember my first business was called the Wheel of Round, which was a knockoff of Webkin's Wheel of Wow. And I stole Tessa's entire piggy bank savings by running a casino in our downstairs. So that was at age 5, and I've been doing businesses since.
That's great. I don't think I knew that.
Yeah.
I'll have to have a little talk after.
Mom knew it. Okay. She shut it down.
Great. Okay. So part of the – because what I would like to shift into a bit is like how the Lord has been at work and brought about really good things. And I want to just throw this in. It is not a given – that you, and I've told you this, but I want to share this with the listeners. It is not a given when something very difficult happens to you, or whether you kind of brought it on yourself, or whether it was something completely brought at you, that you're going to say, Lord, I don't like it. This is really hard, or I don't understand, but I trust you. And you at your age have chosen to do that and keep choosing to do that. So I not just want to commend you, but I want to say that so much life has come from that. So I want to make sure we have a little time to talk about some of that. One of the things, though, is your business.
Yeah. So I like my dad said, I was wondering, you know, how long is this going to last? And I needed to find a way to make money. And so I was like, all right, let me look into passive income streams. I'd heard about passive income. It sounded cool. I didn't know how practical it was. But I had applied for disability services and was denied and was told that I was not disabled enough for disability, which... debatable, but I would have to reapply and wait a certain amount of time. And I was like, I don't know if I can wait on that. So I looked into business models and I stumbled on something called Amazon KDP, which stands for Kindle Direct Publishing. And basically the way it works is you make books in digital format. So you get these print ready documents, you upload them to this platform called Amazon KDP, which is basically just a bridge that gets self-publishers like you or me or anybody in the whole wide world an opportunity to have their books available for sale on Amazon. So we make the books, we put them on this platform, and then we market them on the back end. The cool thing is that Amazon does all the fulfillment. So whenever somebody places an order, then Amazon ships it. And if anybody makes a return, Amazon handles it. So I was like, oh, I could see this working. And I started, I bought a course with the little money that I had left, blew like $800 on it and some tools, and was like, all right, well, let's see what happens here. And I started that about 2 years ago, and here we are now. And this past month was the first month that I've officially been able to pay for all my own expenses and let the business continue to scale without cash flow problems. So that was really exciting.
And I just want to say that when you began this and thought about it, you said, Dad, I've researched it. I've talked with people and they say like the first month you don't make any money. You make $100 maybe. And after 6 months, you might make $1,000 a month. Of course, you can't live on that very much, but you had mapped it out. And this is another thing I've seen in you. You have been very patient. You're willing to spend money on asking people their opinions or research or like not just thinking, I know it all, I'll handle it, I'll figure it out. And so that comes in being willing to invest financially. It comes in being willing to listen, ask a lot of people's opinions, and And then also play to your strengths, because part of this development, like you did word search puzzle books, and instead of think, if it's me, I want to do everything. I want to think of all the words, the art, how it looks, how big it is, all the topics. And maybe you started there, but then you started realizing, like, I only have so much energy. I can't do all this by myself.
It was really by necessity, quite honestly. Like, if I, you know, for the past 2.5 years, all this has been done with like less than 2 hours a day of work during the work week.
Right.
So how do you pay for all your expenses? Like if I literally stopped working today, I would have my entire expenses paid for the next year or so.
That's amazing.
It's that passive. So, but how do you get there if all you do is work 2 hours a day? 2 years is a long time to be working, but I haven't worked very much compared to what other people work.
But
so how does that happen? You need a team. You need other people to be on your side. So one of the most beautiful things I think about this whole injury and the hardship that I've gone through is I've learned to let other people do things and to not have to have it done my way. There was a time for 7 days when I was not allowed to move in bed as we're trying to let this one adjustment settle in my neck.
Yeah.
And I had to get spoon-fed smoothies that were pureed and soups by my grandmother so that I could continue living. I was in a hospital gown, literally had to pee in a bottle on the bed. Like, how do you, that's humiliating for somebody who's as capable as I like to think I am.
Yeah.
So this has been a very cool, humbling process, and it's helped me to listen to other people's advice and seek it out even. So
that's great.
Yeah.
My son Toby is in studio with us. You're listening to the Tim DeMoss Show on WFIL in Philadelphia. 5 years ago, he sustained an injury that has radically altered the trajectory of his life. But because he has, I would say, submitted his heart to the Lord and instead of raging against him, I'm sure you have had times that it's been really hard, not to sugarcoat it. But in the end, you say, Lord, I just trust you. Romans 8:28 says, all things work together for the good for those who love the Lord, including this injury where you're blindsided by a hug while you're having a catch that neurologically and otherwise has really affected your body and your ability to live life out and all the things that were happening. It has led to you doing other things too, the good that comes from it. One of the things, some of it you won't see till you're in heaven, but some of it now you get to see. The ability to help others through your writing is something. Take a minute to share about, I guess you have a Substack and you also have a book you're working on.
Yeah, I have a Substack, which is basically a blog. It's a platform that hosts writers. So
yeah.
I post weekly on there, starting back to about September. Basically, the vision of my entire life, and this is what I've found, is when you kind of strip back everything that you care about and you're left with just you in a dark room and a ceiling fan and a lot of time to think, you go a little deeper than you did before. So I think I know why I'm alive now. And I couldn't have said that with clarity before. So for me, in a nutshell, it's to love God, to love people, and to help them taste and know His goodness for themselves. That's my vision. So when I write these posts, basically they're 3 to 5 minute reads, little stories and tidbits and things that God's been teaching me about business, about my health, about my friendships, but it all comes back to something that the Lord's shown me in Scripture to help encourage the church to taste and know His glories for themselves. So that's why I write.
And if people want to see that, currently it's called the Dinosaur Oatmeal Club.
Yeah, Dinosaur Oatmeal Club.
On Substack, although you reserve the right to tweak that.
We may change the name.
Okay.
Yeah.
Toby, What is a thing or two, if you really step back, I don't know if you think of it in these terms, but is there a thing about your life, about the Lord, about who He is in your relation to Him through all of these challenges, things you may be even still wrestling with, or is it about His character or any lesson? There's just a thought, because there's a lot. I'm sure maybe it's kind of hard to boil it down to even, it doesn't have to be just one. And you've kind of shared some as you go on.
I think, I could be here for a few hours.
Yeah. That's an unfair question.
I think that the first thing that came to mind was that the red letters used to feel angry to me.
Isn't Jesus' words in the New Testament?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I used to see them and I would see Him say, "Oh, you of little faith." And I'd be like, "He's angry. He's mad." I would see Him say things like, "What a perverse generation, when will you learn," kind of things. And I'll be like, man, he's really mad. He doesn't like me. And it doesn't help when everything you care about goes out the window. I thought he really doesn't like me.
Because your life was having
all my circumstances went south.
Yeah.
So how do you go from there and wanting to die every day for about a year to now where I legitimately feel I wake up in the morning, I'm not even kidding, I think I don't know how I could be more blessed. I think I'm probably the luckiest guy in the world. And how does that happen? And I really think that it's the transformative power of Jesus' love. Like, it's all about love, and he talks about it so much in Scripture. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, like, that whoever believes in him should not perish and have eternal life. And it says that he does not wish that anyone should perish, but that all should come to a knowledge of him. So it's like, man, he must really actually love us if he talks about it. What happened when the disciples were fishing out on the boat right before or right after he had been resurrected? He's on the shore. He says, come have breakfast. He cooks them breakfast. Sure, he says to Peter, do you love me? Do you love me? Do you love me? Three times, mimicking the three times he denied him.
Right.
And that's hard. And then he tells Peter, hey, basically, you're going to be carried away to a death that you don't want to go to. So there's a lot of hardship, but his yoke is easy, his burden is light. And his word, the red words aren't from a heart of anger. And that, yeah, just coming to know him for who he really is, getting to know the heart of love, the heart of the Father, has been a really cool experience for me.
I love it. I love it. Well, I'm glad that it has worked out for you to be here today. My son Toby DeMoss with us in studio, and easily we could fill the hour here. Second half or last part of our program here, segueing to, I have a guest on shortly, Simon Sinek. He's a best-selling author. He wrote books like Start With Why, Leaders Eat Last, and The Infinite Game. He has a podcast out called A Bit of Optimism. And when I sometimes go home at dinner, I'll mention to the family, hey, so-and-so is coming up on the show soon. And when I mention it to you, you're like, he's like the top guy I want to interview if I ever got a chance to talk to him.
Yeah.
So I'm going to take a quick break, our other break here, and then we're going to welcome him on the program. I mean, if you really want to help me interview him, that'd be a good thing.
Oh, yeah. Let's do it.
All right. You're listening to The Tim DeMoss Show, AM 560, WFIL.com, and on the WFIL app.
Live and local, it's The Tim DeMoss Show, weekday afternoons 4 till 5 on AM 560, WFIL, and at WFIL.com. Our podcast continues.
It's 4:39, The Tim DeMoss Show on WFIL in Philadelphia. Thank you for taking time to tune in. Joined now by best-selling author and speaker and podcaster Simon Sinek. He has written books like Start With Why, Leaders Eat Last, and The Infinite Game. And he's also known for his TED Talk on the concept of why, and now a podcast called A Bit of Optimism. Simon Sinek, how you doing?
Hey, Tim. How are you?
Wonderful. Thanks for taking time to chat today. And
thanks for having me on. I really appreciate it.
For sure. And I have our son, my son Toby is here. Hey, Toby.
Hey, Dad. Hey, Simon. How are you?
Hey, Toby. How are you?
I'm thrilled to be here.
Yeah. So, Simon, I have a show here every day. I've been doing it for years. And my son Toby's 23, and he's joining in. I just want to introduce you on the front end. He was an athlete, an all-star travel baseball player. A few years ago, he had a freak injury getting hugged from the side while he was having a catch. And he's had all kinds of challenges since then. And part of his story involves having to figure out how to navigate life if he never fully recovers from some, on the outside, you can tell he looks fine. He's conversant mentally there, all that, but he's in a lot of neurological pain. And my point is, every now and again, I have a guest on the show. I'll talk to my family when I get home at dinner tomorrow that had this person. When I mentioned you, he said, Dad, he's amazing. And they're like, Toby is very familiar with your work much more than I am. And in a way, he could interview better than I could. So I just wanted to introduce who's in the room. And
thank you.
Yeah. Yeah. And he has
a pleasure to meet you, Toby.
Thank you, Simon. Yeah. You too.
So congratulations on This Is a Bit of Optimism, the podcast. Can you share why you started it in the first place as we get out of the gate here?
Yeah, and then Toby, you and I have to talk, okay?
Okay, let's do it.
I'll share my stuff, but you and I should talk too. We don't want to waste the time together. Yeah, super quick. So we started a bit of optimism during COVID. It was a dark time. There was a lot of uncertainty. And my sister came to me and said, I think we need to like spread a bit of optimism. And so I called a bunch of my friends that, you know, I've learned from and who sort of inspire me and shared those relationships and would bring them on the podcast and we'd talk. And it was, we never expected it to be a thing. And we're now, you know, done nearly 120 episodes and it's on the roll. And the joy for me is bringing people who have a different point of view who teach me something every single time. And I absolutely love it. Absolutely love it. We just had the latest episode is a guy named Leopoldo Lopez, who was a political prisoner, in Venezuela, who's the opposition leader in Venezuela, against the, tyrannical regime out there, which is still in power. And he was put in jail. A warrant was put out for his arrest. He turned himself in and he went to jail and he was put in solitary confinement for years. And he knew the only way he was going to survive this is if he had some sort of routine. So he was going to take care of his body every single day. He was going to work out every single day. He was going to keep his mind active by reading, writing, or drawing every single day, which he did. But he didn't know how to keep his spirit strong. And so he went to his priest and said, how do I do this? And the priest says, you're going to have to pray every single day. And he was a lapsed Catholic, like so many. And he said, okay, I'll pray every single day, but how do I pray? And his priest said, well, people pray for three things. They pray because they want something. They pray because they want relief from something. Or they pray for gratitude. Mm. And he says, really, the only one that actually works is praying for gratitude. So he never prayed to get out of jail. He never prayed to see his family again. He never prayed to make the suffering end. He prayed for something that he was grateful for every single day, even if it was something small, like he saw an eagle fly past his window one day and he was grateful for that. That was his prayer that day. And he has come out of it stronger, more inspiring than when he went in. He is absolutely remarkable. And if that's what he learned on how to endure difficulty in a situation most of us will never have to endure, to learn his lessons and bring those with us for our daily lives, he was so inspiring and just, I was so proud to have him on the podcast.
Wow. Simon, I'm thinking, for folks familiar with your work, my son Toby is, and I am some, how much of your work would be helpful for people to be familiar with, before listening to This Is a Bit of Optimism, or they can they just dive into the podcast and maybe go back to the books and TED Talks and all that later?
I mean, I put work out there that I think it has value. It has had value in my life. It's had value in the lives of my friends. And so that's sort of my standard before I put anything out there. And I don't care how people find it, whether they like one of the things, some of the things, or all the things, and they can go in any order they want. Everything is designed to be its own thing. So whether it's the podcast or TED Talks, any of the talks I've ever done, or books, or even the online learning that we do, where we teach human skills like trust and how to have difficult conversations and stuff like this. Whatever somebody's entry point is fine by me. But all I know is that I try and make work that matters.
How do you prepare for interviews? What's important to you as you prepare, and what do you try to keep in mind?
So I show up. It's the same when I do talks, which is I don't want anything from anybody. I show up to give. And so my attitude is to have a giver's heart, which is I have a point of view on the world. I've done some research on what things work and what things don't work. And I want to share that. And if the most people ever interact with me is in this one interview with you, then I want them to walk away enriched and that they got something of value.
Hmm. That's really good. That's really good. I find that interesting. We talk about that. We hope that this program is a help to other people. We actually are a Christian formatted station. And the thing I will say is best thing I think I can do is point someone to God. But there are other ways, including good information or just helping them laugh or give a prize during our show or something to make their lives better for having not just have a show to have a show, right? Just to exist. But we really want people to be better for having listened in. So, Toby,
exactly. Yeah. I mean, I think that's what we're doing, right? That's what giving is all about, right?
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. Toby, I know you had a question.
Yeah, Simon, you talk a lot about giving and you're big on friendship, hospitality, generosity. There was a quote that fascinated me on your website as I was doing research, which says that there's an entire section in the bookshop called self-help, but there is no section called help others. we are helping to build the That's help correct. Others industry, and it starts with optimism.
Yeah.
So I thought that was brilliant. Yeah. And I had a question for you about why you talk about generosity so much and why this help others approach is so important to you.
You know, there's a paradox to being a human being, which is every moment of every day, we are both individuals and members of groups. You are you and I am me, but we are also sons. We're also members of teams. We're also members of a church. We're also members of a community, right? Like, and every single day we're challenged with decisions to make. Do I put myself first and do I put the group second? Or do I put the groups first and put myself second? And there's entire schools of thought that believe, no, no, you always put yourself first. Otherwise, you know, you won't have the strength to help the group. And there's entire schools of thought that say, no, no, you always help the group first. Otherwise, they won't be there to help you. And the answer is you're both right and you're both wrong. It's a paradox. And so I believe that our nation, if you look at our nation, we've over-indexed on rugged individualism. We've over-indexed on heroizing CEOs and the Marlboro man and everybody striving to be the hero. And I think we've kind of forgotten that we also live in groups, that we also have to learn to cooperate and be good teammates and be good spouses and be good kids to our parents and be good members of a community, that we have a responsibility to the people with whom we live. And if you look at our fractured country, it's like being in a marriage. It's like we live in the same house. Like we live in the same nation. Like nobody's going anywhere. And so we can scream and yell at each other, or we can learn to make this thing work. And like any relationship, making something work requires doing work yourself. You can't just scream and yell at the person and expect them to change, because that's not going to work. And so I'm a firm believer that the person who learns to listen first, the person who learns to take themselves on, the person who accepts that they have some accountability and responsibility in the fracturedness of the relationship, that person is called a leader, because that's what leaders do. Leaders go first. That's why we call them leaders. They set the example. They're willing to take the risk. They're willing to try first. And so when I talk about that we've over-indexed on self-help and we need to build the help others industry, that's exactly what I'm talking about. We need to learn to put something out for others, to make others feel seen and heard and understood.
The great irony is the more we do that,
the more inspired we feel, the more seen we feel, the more heard we feel, the more understood we feel. That's the great irony.
Yeah, that's tremendous. And I want to pivot off that because I think that's a fantastic point. And Simon, I think that one thing that you inspire me to do is to continuously learn. Clearly, you learn every day when you hang out with your friends and you talk on your podcast, you write these books, you're constantly full of stories. And I find that in order to help others, we do need to continue to learn and grow ourselves. So how do you learn new things, new techniques without losing that love for others? Because typically when we do learn more, we might increase in our net worth, we might increase in our ability to connect with other people. So there's personal benefit to be had. How do you learn those things without those techniques and strategies, quote unquote, without affecting your love for people?
Well, I think what people forget is that when they make any kind of accomplishment, right, whether they make money or achieve any kind of notoriety, they start, at the beginning, they knew they needed help. They knew it wasn't all about them. And at some point, for some reason, they start to believe their own press, right? They start to think that they're the genius. They start to think that it's only they and their talents that made them who they are, which is of complete nonsense. Right? Every single one of us who ever accomplished anything, right? We did so because somebody took a risk on us, because somebody gave us a break, because somebody was there for us in a dark period so we didn't have to feel alone, or somebody helped us overcome some challenge or difficulty. Like nobody who ever achieved anything of worth ever did it alone. And I think it's about the humility of recognizing and being grateful for all the help. I think that's all it requires, quite frankly, to keep our minds in check.
Cool. Simon, a lot of folks can view this as a bit of optimism, the podcast, just scrolling through the titles and the rhythm of them, finding your tribe or fighting with love or joy or generosity, a single word or short phrase. And as I was going through them, I listened to some and I realized, like, I wonder if Simon's going to revisit any of these or they're going to just kind of be one and done, so to speak. And then I saw there a couple where you cycled back, maybe touched on a topic again. I was curious where your I guess where your thought process is in picking the topics you talk about, whether it's based on something that's independent of what's going on in the world and just things that need to be talked about, versus you see something in the world and you want to address it. And maybe even where that comes from as a person, the values you have growing up and why you would even have an eye for those things.
So I think of myself as a student. I don't think of myself as an expert in anything. Even in my own discipline, I'm a student. I may be a more advanced student, but I'm a student nonetheless. I always have more to learn. And so, you know, I want to bring people on the podcast that I want to learn from. I hate using it as a vehicle for people who are just pitching something or promoting something. You know, if I don't want to learn from them, if I don't like what they're doing, I don't have them on.
Right.
It's not just a promotional vehicle, you know? And so everybody who comes on, quite frankly, is somebody who they've done something or they've written something and I'm curious and I want to learn more and I want to pick apart their ideas and I want to get from them something that I couldn't just get from a book, for example.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, it's all stuff that genuinely interests me. And the themes, we don't know what the themes are going in. The themes of the episodes all always come out at the end of the episode.
Interesting.
I don't know what I'm going to talk about. Hmm. Yeah.
That's – well, you know what? So that – well, Toby, you had one other question, though, but I'll come back to this after you ask your question.
Go ahead.
I was curious because one of your podcasts with Dr. James Carse and The Infinite Game, and I started thinking about that, and I have not read The Infinite Game, but as I listened to the podcast, I got the gist of – I think what he's saying, infinite expects surprise rather than trying to prepare or minimize surprises. But when you prepare for an interview like this one, I spent a lot of time crafting questions and the order, as did Toby, as he thought about stuff he wanted to ask you about. So in a way, we want to minimize surprise. We want to get to, by the time we're done talking, have certain things have happened. But at the same time, there's an element of surprise. I was curious how you went about that with your interviews, because you are prepping. But what you just said, it's interesting. That is the surprise part, right? You don't even know where it's going to necessarily go in the end. Is that?
I actually do. I have a different approach.
Okay.
Which is I treat mine not like an interview. I treat it like I'm going out to dinner. So like if you and I were introduced by mutual friends. And they said, you guys got to meet each other. And you and I met for a cup of coffee,
yeah.
Right? Or we met for a meal, right?
Yeah.
You're not doing any research on me, and I'm not doing any research on you. We're going to show up and be like, so, you know, Dave said we should meet. He said you're a good guy,
yeah,
you know? And
right.
Like, it's going to be a little bit awkward, and we're going to find a rhythm. And then you and I are going to have a great conversation because we have shared values. Like, because that's why Dave introduced us,
yeah.
Right? And that's kind of how I treat my podcast, which is, you know, it's a little awkward at the beginning because – you know, Dave said we should meet,
right.
And then we find a rhythm. And so I'm willing to. I want the conversation to go wherever the conversation goes.
Yeah.
And it's we'd like to joke that it's as if we're legitimately out for dinner. That I'm out for dinner with somebody, and our conversation just happens to be more interesting than people sitting next to us, and that the people sitting next to us are leaning over and listening to our conversation.
That's
so
awesome.
It's a little bit voyeuristic, which is sort of fun.
That's fascinating, Toby. We only have a little bit of time.
Yeah.
Do you want to ask one more question?
Yeah, Simon. To close, I want to turn a question on you that you've asked a number of your guests. One you asked Christina Tozzi and Charles Duhigg and others, I believe, which is tell me an early specific happy childhood memory. Something that we can relive with you.
Oh, thank you for that. So I went to space camp as a kid. I was 13 years old, and I went to space camp in Huntsville, Alabama. You know, it's so funny. I'm actually wearing a T-shirt right now that says astronaut on it, totally coincidentally. And I remember when I came back from space camp, I wore my flight suit to school. So I'm in middle school and I'm wearing a pale blue flight suit with my patches all over it. I mean, you know, everybody made fun of me, you know, and I got to tell you, it didn't bother me at all because I knew that they all wanted to go to do something that I already did. And sort of, I just remember sort of like, I built up this, I don't know, because I wasn't like, and I wasn't like the most outgoing popular kid in school, but I stood out that day. And even though people were making fun of me, it just didn't bother me. I walked around with a big smile on my face. And at the end of the day, people came up to me and they were more curious about what I did than anything else. So it's a memory that stands out.
That's awesome. And you can't hear me laughing, but I'm smiling as big as you probably were then. That's a great story. Thank you, Simon.
That's great.
Thank you.
Simon, thank you so much for taking time. It's great to make your acquaintance. And hopefully we can do it again sometime.
Oh, thank you so much for having me on, Toby. Real pleasure. Nice to meet you.
Thank you, Simon. Likewise.
Congratulations on the bit of, this is a bit of optimism podcast, and have a great rest of your day.
Thank you. You too.
Bye-bye. All right. Simon Sinek, best-selling author. You may know him from his book, Start With Why, Leaders Eat Last and The Infinite Game, his TED Talk on the concept of why, and his podcast. It's relatively new, although it's been around for a few years. This is a bit of optimism. The future is always bright if you know where to look. Psalm 121 comes to mind for me on that, Toby. I lift my eyes to the hills. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. He will not let your foot slip. He who watches over you will not slumber. Indeed, he who watches over Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord watches over you. The Lord is at the shade at your right hand. The sun will not harm you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord will keep you from all harm. He will watch over your life. The Lord will watch over your coming and going, both now and forevermore. That's Psalm 121. John 14 talks about how you can know the Lord and how you can have an eternal future secure. Look that up. Toby, any closing thoughts in our last minute? That was fun having him on, wasn't it?
Yeah, that's my closing thought. I had a blast. Thanks for having me, Dad.
I'm so glad. And again, if folks want to kind of keep up with you, if they want, maybe the blog might be a nice way. The currently named Dinosaur Oatmeal Club. Substack.com?
Yeah, Substack. You can also, if you want to find me on Instagram, it's just toby.demoss, and there's a link to the Substack there.
Oh.
That might make it easier for people.
Instagram, toby.demoss, D-E-M-O-S-S.
Correct.
Okay.
And a bit of optimism, Simon Sinek. Go listen to it.
That's right.
There's a brilliant one about hospitality. Look it up. Will Gadara.
Okay. That's good. Well, see, and that's why I brought you in here, you know? Not just for your good looks or whatever. Well, thank you for coming in. Thanks for listening in today. We appreciate your prayers for our program, and we have some really cool guests also coming up in the days ahead. Artemis Pyle, drummer for Lynyrd Skynyrd, going to be on our program, I think, a little later on this week, and some other really neat guests, among others. But for today, very grateful to have my son Toby joining us and Simon Sinek on the Tim DeMoss Show. Alice DeBeg, Truth for Life, coming up at 5 in just a moment. Have a wonderful evening.
Thanks for listening to the Tim DeMoss Show podcast. Feel free to tune in to the full show each weekday afternoon from 4 till 5 on AM 560 WFIL and at WFIL.com.
Three-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.